Good morning, Pensacola. Andrew McKay and the Pensacola Morning News starts right now.
I want to wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all. So why don't you smile?
Phase two will probably, which is the abatement, will be done probably July as a best case target. If not, it'll push into August. Good thing there is we are in no rush. We want to make sure it's done right. Phase three will begin, again, within the week for the demolition, and it should be done as a best case December, worst case pushing to January of 2027. And then the final phase, the civil restoration, will begin in January, and it's slated to start, you know, complete in June of 2027.
Yesterday during the press conference that would normally be D.C. Reeves, but since he's on vacation vacation. I just don't know for sure. Only because, you know, when we tried to connect with him yesterday for our press weekly interview, we wound up connecting with David Stafford instead, which is great. Of course, he's a city administrator. But this is David Stafford was hosting the press conference yesterday, and this is the voice of Josh with Jacobs Contracting. Talking about the Baptist demolition project, you heard David mention at the top of the hour, but a few more details from Josh about how they're going to do this. It's actually kind of interesting that, you know, they're specifically doing it so as to reduce and mitigate the amount of construction dust. There would be faster ways to demolish the Baptist hospital towers, you know, like with a wrecking ball. Thank you, Miley Cyrus.
What can the public expect to see here in the next month or two visually?
Just big equipment taking down buildings, right? So they will proceed floor by floor for the first tower. And so you will, you know, for what you will see, it should be, pretty much demolition progress. There will be dust suppression measures in place so that what is on the site stays on the site. But other than that, you'll see the equipment that is already staged on the site, pretty much, you know, taking down the buildings floor by floor.
So you're like a wrecking ball?
Not a wrecking ball. Oh, we wish, but not not as fun.
How does that, I mean, kind of, what's that when you do it floor by floor?
It helps with the dust suppression. It helps with the dust control measures, as well as with the debris that'll be taken out. And so it's a more controlled, regulated process so that, again, we aren't a wrecking ball. Would be fun. But the dust it would create will probably be a hindrance to the residents in the area.
I came in like a wrecking ball.
No, it's not gonna. Dang it, Miley, it's not a wrecking ball. He said it's not a wrecking ball. All you ever do is Baptist. All right, so anyway, the way he described it later on in the press.
Wait a second, did you just say, what about?
I don't know. I woke up late. I was running late to get here. I haven't had my coffee. These are the jokes you get, you know. They don't cost you any more than the bad jokes, but they don't cost you any more than the good jokes. The amount you pay for this service is still free. just shut up and take it. Anyway, he says, like, it's, you know, what is it, four stories, good Lord. And it's not a wrecking ball. It's not really the typical, you know, excavator that's going to be digging with the shovel. He described it as a scissors of sorts, and I don't know exactly what that means. I'm like, he's in there, snip, snip, you know, pull out that room, that shower stall. I don't know. But anyway, the whole idea is to mitigate against dust and debris. On another note, something that came out of the press conference yesterday is an update on the yard debris collection that had grown to be this big public controversy, how far behind they were, you know, routes weren't being run, drivers were running around, the allegations were, you know, because they've got, like, software to track the trucks. So, well, the software says they're running all the routes. People say, well, yeah, they're running all the routes, but they're not actually stopping and getting the trash. They're just, you know, satisfying the needs for the GPS. And allegation, okay? I don't say that it's confirmed. I'm just saying it's an allegation. But they have hired, you know, extra people, borrowed some trucks. They're trying to make it a lot better than working on it significantly for the last at least month. And now...
Yard pickup. I got some updates here for the yard waste pickup. We've made strong progress in clearing the backlog of yard debris in the city. As of this week, all yard waste routes are now being completed within 3 working days of the regular pickup day. Garbage and recycling remain on track, on schedule.
That's getting better and a lot better than it had been before. So, you know, take that. That's a win. 5:15 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. Now, John, I know you are take this the right way. You're a bit of a sleep princess.
What?
You don't turn into a pumpkin at midnight. You turn into a pumpkin around 9 p.m.
Correct.
And then you fall asleep.
Correct.
Now, you're also a sports fan.
Right.
Did you stay up to watch the biggest comeback in NBA history last night?
I tried.
Yeah. How far did you get?
The first quarter.
No.
First quarter, man. But then I woke up and I was like, oh. It was like the fourth quarter, and they were all talking about it, and I was
how close were they at the time you woke back up?
I think it was by 10.
Down by 10?
Yeah.
Okay, so maybe like 5 minutes left, something like that.
Yeah.
Okay, and did you watch the rest?
I did the one eye stink eye look.
Oh, like you're trying to stay awake, but your body is just like, no, bro, you don't get to do this.
Exactly.
Oh, man. I can't tell you, but so we watch TV at night after I get done prepping the show, usually around 10:30 or 11, and watch TV until I go to bed at midnight. But sometimes go to bed and fall asleep are not the same time. You know, sometimes fall asleep is like 11:30 and go to bed, Andrew. Okay, fine. You know, and we're always watching shows together. And so sometimes the most recent 10 or 20 minutes is a little unfamiliar to me when we come back to that movie the next day. And I'll go back and watch it on my own.
Yeah, you. I think
punishment.
You might.
Anyway, right. It was a huge comeback, and down by 29, I believe, and then come back, and in the end, they were down by a point with 5 seconds to go. The Knicks were in a down, being ahead 2-1. You know, they won both games in San Antonio, and then San Antonio won game 3 in Trump cursed New York because he was at the, New Yorkers were angry about that.
Right.
Anyway, and then, 5 seconds left, they take a shot, they miss, but the follow-up, the kind of tip-back rebound goes in, and, and then the Spurs just decided to kind of hold it for 2 seconds. You couldn't get a shot off, and that was it. Huge comeback. Mm. Big win. Congratulations to the Knicks and to all New Yorkers and even their hatred of Elmo. Have you heard about this?
Elmo?
Yeah, Elmo. Where's Elmo live?
Oh, okay. I thought you were like the little red guy.
Little red guy. That's right. Where did Elmo live?
This?
Where does he live?
He lives in Sesame Street.
Yeah, but where is Sesame Street? What city?
I don't remember. That's like 20 years ago.
Think about it. Picture in your mind what Sesame Street looks like. The kind of houses, the kind of garbage cans, the kind of multi-ethnic people. Where is Sesame Street located? It's not in Miami. It's not in L.A. Where is it?
New York.
That's it. It's in New York.
Right.
So Elmo, the other day, posts, I guess he's on Instagram or whatever, and he says, I just want both teams to have a good time and play well. Something like that. New Yorkers were livid.
Oh,
how dare you? How dare you not root for the Knicks? They got like the sanitation department wrote them mean tweets. Elmo was getting canceled in New York for not being a Knicks enough fan.
Ooh, I see that as a...
Yeah. You see what I did there? Yeah, might be a preview, so we'll see. I don't know.
I see Brother Andrew.
Brother Andrew thinks that sports is stupid because conservatives like it. So unless it's, ballet or... I don't know.
Go ahead. Continue.
Trying to think of the other sports that... that a woke liberal like Brother Andrew would actually enjoy. I may have to write that one. That's kind of funny. Anyway, so yeah, the next one, and they're up 3-1, and we'll see what happens. Let's see, 4-3-7-16-20. Oh, the State Department has been cracking down on birth tourism. You know what birth tourism is? That's where people come to the United States 8 months pregnant, hoping to leave the United States not pregnant.
Oh.
Not because they want to have a very, very late-term abortion, but because they want to have a delivery, because if you're born here, what do you get? Ding, 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 citizenship, right? Because, we are a birthright citizenship country, and so if you get evicted on our soil somehow or other, then you become a citizen. Well, there's a lot of discussion, of course, about whether you should or whether you should not be allowed to get citizenship if you are not subject to the jurisdiction thereof, is kind of the phraseology of the Constitution. But essentially, if you're a temporary resident, if you're, you know, vacationing here, if you are here illegally, there actually is an exclusion if you are here as part of either if you're an ambassador, there's a court case about that, or if you are part of an invading army. Kind of a weird one. We haven't really had that as an issue, but, you know, that's actually one of the exclusions that makes you not a citizen. But if you come here illegally or if you come here temporarily, you don't have what they call a domicile. You may remember that was a key term in the Supreme Court oral argument several months ago. We're still waiting on a decision because President Trump has issued this executive order to not grant citizenship to people who do not really, he thinks, do not really qualify. I think he's going to lose that case. I think the Supreme Court is going to say, no, man, this is the rule. It's always been this way. If you want to change it, you got to get a constitutional amendment. Well, in that domain, we have the State Department has put out a couple of posts saying that a U.S. embassy in West Africa uncovered a sophisticated birth tourism network of more than 100 foreign nationals using fraudulent documents and visa fixers, as in, you know, facilitators or, you know, people who make it happen for you, to get themselves visas in order to get U.S. citizenship for their children. Now, simultaneously, and then we shut it down, we revoked these foreign nationals' visas and are coordinating with local authorities to systematically identify and cut off any similar operations. Then another set of tweets in Europe, a U.S. embassy. Oh, grammar people, come on. And, well, I mean, it's a question because the Y sound is a weird one. Anyway, U.S. embassy identified, a U.S. embassy, I get you. It's a question whether it's right or not. Identified more than 400 suspected birth tourism cases since 2024. Investigators traced them to at least six companies that coached applicants on what to say in their visa interview, arranged U.S. housing, and set up delivery plans. Well, that's just like hiring a lawyer to tell you what to say in court. But okay, anyway, we shut it down, revoked their visas, and permanently banned several fraudsters from traveling to the United States ever again. So the United States Department of State is working to thwart the so-called birth tourism industry that, I mean, it certainly does take place. It's long been known that people from Asian countries will come to California, you know, and stay for a month or two and leave with, you know, come with no citizens and leave with one. And at least that way, when they grow up, they have a citizenship here. So, you know, like I said, it's an interesting question of whether that qualifies. The government is eager to prevent people from becoming citizens who they do not think should actually be citizens, even if that were ruled to be citizenship. There are American citizens who have citizenship because of birth tourism. There's still an issue of the fraudulent activity, because if you get citizenship through fraudulent means, you lie about your identity or you deny your associations, or, you know, there's a whole list of things that you're supposed to basically tell the truth about. And if you lie about those things, you can have your citizenship revoked or stripped out later. It doesn't happen very often. The Trump administration has promised to do it more. You know, they have kind of set a quota that they cannot meet. It's a weird thing to set a quota on, because it's like saying, you know, go out and find me so many fraudulent citizens.
Set a quota?
Yeah, like that was kind of his goal, is we're going to get a bunch of them, and we've been getting some more than people have before. This is not new. You know, the other administrations have done this as well, because, again, if you lie, I'll give you an example. You know, somebody tries to immigrate from Somalia, he's a terrorist, or he's a friend of terrorists, and, you know, maybe he's, let's say, a soccer referee. You know that case? Soccer referee from Somalia tried to come to the United States, and he got turned away at the border, you know, coming here to referee for the World Cup. And they turned him away because he has terrorist friends, which is a disqualifier for coming to the United States, you know, because we're trying to not have terrorist acts and protect the World Cup, of course. And so they turned him away. And then apparently he went to Canada because the Canadians offered, hey, come here, it'll be all right. Fantastic. Anyway, back to the point. You lie about having these friends, or, you know, you, not that you're a terrorist, but you lie about knowing them or going to school with them or, you know, sharing an apartment with them when you were just out of college. I don't know, whatever. If you lie about that, that can be grounds for taking away the citizenship that you get by not fully disclosing your history. That happens sometimes. It's not a particularly common thing, but that's what the Trump administration wants to do more of. Anyway, the point is, you can have your citizenship stripped out if you are not native-born. And maybe, this is the question, even if you are native-born, but if your parents come here fraudulently. Anyway, these are things to be decided by the Supreme Court. 525 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
This is a special alert to all Americans who own a vehicle with less than 200,000 miles with an auto warranty about to expire or with no warranty coverage at all. Due to a decline in the economy, CarShield is announcing a low-cost, month-to-month vehicle protection plan that is now available to the public to save any driver out-of-pocket expenses on future auto repairs. Call now to find out how you can pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. Yes, you heard that correctly. Pay almost nothing for covered auto repairs. An open phone line has been established for all drivers to call for a free quick quote. Call 800-478-6430 now. Drivers who are covered will not have to pay for covered repairs again. This protection plan is at an all-time low. Additionally, drivers who activate this vehicle protection today will also receive free roadside assistance, free towing, and car rental options at no additional cost. Call us for your free quick quote today. 800-478-6430. That's 800-478-6430. What do you have to lose? Call 800-478-6430. Again, 800-478-6430. 6430.
Whether you want to start your education or advance your career, Pensacola State College is the place for you. Join the 91% of PSC students who graduate loan-free and select from over 100 programs, ranging from career certificates to baccalaureate degrees. In addition, Pensacola State has over 300 scholarships to choose from, including cybersecurity. Register today for the summer and fall semester. Go to pensacolastate.edu. That's pensacolastate.edu to learn more.
You recognize the smell of marijuana, but it's not just a smell. It's a warning. If you can smell it, harmful chemicals are entering your lungs, bloodstream, and brain, and our children too. Every inhale affects brain development and triples the risk of serious respiratory issues. Protect your kids and grandkids from the dangers of marijuana. Their future is on the line. This message is sponsored by the Department of Children and Families and the Florida Association of Broadcasters.
The Pensacola housing real estate market has been crazy for the past few years.
How do you know when to buy or sell?
You'll need an expert to help you. Tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9 a.m. right after Pensacola Morning News to hear real estate expert Christina Leavenworth with Levin Rinke Realty discuss current real estate conditions. That's today at 9 a.m. on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
You don't want rumors.
You want confirmation.
News Radio 92.3, 95.3 and AM 1620.
You want confirmation.
Informative, local, dependable.
Nazis. I hate these guys.
Good morning, 528 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay. All right, we'll find out just how warped and twisted your brains are right now. We're going to do a little go back in time 30 seconds exercise. So John and I are both listening to the PSA that was running about the last one before we came back on the air. And it said, if you smell it. And both John and I looked at each other and said, then...
You dealt it. Now you see where our brains are.
We are such beautiful products of being Gen X kids and growing up in the 80s and all of the stupid
things. Oh, my goodness.
All of the TV, all of the movies, all of the music, all of the expressions, most of which you're not supposed to say anymore. That's not polite. That's exclusive, marginalizing people. All right, Brother Andrew, sit down and shut up. Let's see. Sit down. I don't know. What do you want me to tell you? Interesting note. This may come back to the transgressors tomorrow, but the Southern Baptist Convention has voted to confirm the ban on women being pastors, which it's kind of a weird thing for the SBC to vote on because it's already always been the view of the SBC, which, by the way, is not unique to them. All of Catholicism, all of Eastern Orthodox and all kinds of conservative, there's some quibbling about this, non-Pentecostal conservative churches, I would say, generally speaking. Pentecostals are very conservative, but also more open to female pastors. In any case, it's been the position of the Baptist Church, but Al Mohler, who's, you know, a longtime president, not now, but, you know, has been, and a pastor and a radio preacher and all this, anyway, had proposed the resolution to clarify it in an environment in which it was uncertain. And previously, this had never reached the two-thirds threshold to get passed. It passed 75%. So it's got to get one last step of ratification in any case. But Southern Baptists reaffirm their opposition to having female pastors based on the New Testament.
Fox News, I'm CJ Pop. A fresh round of U.S. military strikes inside Iran.
Speaking from the Situation Room, President Trump told Fox News that 49 Tomahawk missiles hit locations as close to 40 miles from the capital of Tehran. Positions were also targeted along the southwestern part of Iran. The president described the strikes as violent and vicious.
That's Fox's Trey Yinks in Tel Aviv. Iran's foreign ministry saying the last round of strikes had effectively rendered the April 8th ceasefire meaningless. President Trump saying he spoke directly to Iranian officials, which Iran is now denied. History at Madison Square Garden.
The Knicks pull off a miracle comeback and lead it 3-1.
Knicks star OG Anunoby tips in the go-ahead bucket on ABC as New York overcomes a 29-point deficit, the largest in NBA Finals history. They lead 3-1. They can win the championship Saturday night in San Antonio. America's listening to Fox News.
Good morning. It's 5:31 at News Radio 92.3. I'm David Wayne. Right now we've got 72 degrees with partly cloudy skies. We'll get a look at our forecast here in just a few minutes with Marion Caldwell from Channel 3. Two shark bites in less than a week along the Florida Panhandle. That's a reminder to stay alert in the water this summer. A fisherman was bitten at Fort Pickens on Pensacola Beach last Friday while removing a hook. Also, a swimmer near Panama City critically injured then on Sunday in an unprovoked attack. NOAA fish biologist John Carlson says shark bites, though, are really still a rare occurrence. He put the risk in perspective for Channel 3.
You know, I'm looking in terms of statistics and comparing being attacked by a shark or being bitten by a shark as opposed to other things that are dangerous. You're more likely to be injured by your lawnmower. You're more likely to be struck by lightning.
Carlson says swimmers can lower their risk by avoiding the water at dawn and dusk and also by staying away from areas where people are actively fishing. One person's dead, another injured after a shooting at the Hotel Del Sol in Escambia County on Wednesday morning. The Escambia Sheriff's Office says that shooting happened at about 11 o'clock yesterday morning. One victim ran from the hotel and collapsed in the street. That person later died. A second victim drove himself to the hospital with non-life-threatening gunshot wounds to the legs. No suspect information has been released. Well, as Northwest Florida grapples with the potential impact of Florida's property tax constitutional amendment, the Pensacola Sports Association president and CEO Ray Palmer says sports tourism could be a big part of the answer. He says the economic case for that has never been stronger.
Visitor spending from sports events directly supports essential government priorities like transportation, education, and public safety, and we're really looking hard at public safety as we face this challenge of property tax.
Are
we going to fund that? Well, sports tourism can help us offset some of those costs.
Mm-hmm. Palmer was on Pep Talk here on News Radio this week. He says the numbers back that up nationally, 339 million travelers, 192 million room nights each year are tied to sports tourism across the country. He says those room nights generally generate bed tax revenue that flows directly into local government budgets, providing a funding stream that does not depend on property taxes and is not seasonal. Now, the city of Pensacola seeking public input on the Bayfront Parkway redesign at a meeting on Tuesday, June 16th from 5 until 6:30 p.m. That'll be at the main library on Spring Street. City officials say the project complements the Florida Department of Transportation shared-use path design that will provide a walking and biking trail along Bayfront Parkway. The city's component of that focuses on trees, shrubs, and other amenities along the corridor. The shared use path is expected to be completed by the summer of 2028. It's 5:34. Let's get a look at our Channel 3 weather forecast.
Another warm and muggy start to your day. Temperatures as you head out the door in the upper 70s here on this Thursday morning. This afternoon, temperatures only will be warming up back in the upper 80s and low 90s. Skies will be mostly sunny with low chances for any rain. Tonight stays mild under partly cloudy skies, and then Friday through the weekend continuing to stay very warm and muggy with low rain chances. I'm meteorologist Marion Caldwell with your WEAR First Warning Weather Forecast.
And right now, 72, we've got partly cloudy skies. Your next news at 6, breaking news anytime. I'm David Wayne, News Radio 92.3. Informative, local, dependable.
Hey, Dave Ramsey here. You've heard me talk about one car dealership in Pensacola, Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. Folks, new cars lose 11% of their value the second you drive them off the lot. So for years, Frontier Motors has been saving Pensacola residents thousands of dollars by getting them into the best previously owned vehicles. And thousands of people have enjoyed Frontier Motors' no hassle, no pressure experience. Just the best slightly used vehicles in town at a fair price. But don't take my word for it. Look around and you'll start noticing all the Frontier Motors decals and tags. They're everywhere. So if you're in the market for a vehicle, do yourself a favor and see the friendly folks and the huge inventory at Frontier Motors. You can't miss them. Just look for the big buffalo on the lot. That's Frontier Motors at 230 Beverly Parkway. And don't forget to tell them Dave Ramsey said hey.
There are a lot of questions about roof replacement in the news lately, such as insurance companies demanding replacement before they cancel coverage to companies not doing the job that they sold to you. Make sure you tune in to the Pensacola Expert Panel today at 9:30 as Quality Roofing Solutions will answer your questions. Find out what makes Quality Roofing Solutions the premier contractor in Florida today at 9:30.
The Pensacola Expert Panel on News Radio 92.3 and AM 1620.
This is a statement from the National Weather Service.
September 2020.
The National Hurricane Center predicted Hurricane Sally would come ashore in Mississippi.
A hurricane warning has now been issued.
But then Sally made a right turn and surprised us by coming ashore here with a destructive power we have not seen since Hurricane Ivan, which is why you should keep your radio on News Radio 92.3 for all the latest watches, warnings, and full team coverage should the storm make that unexpected change of course. News Radio 92.3.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News.
Get me Sheriff Chip Simmons is here in studio with me.
We get probably an accidental shooting probably once every 2 weeks, which is a lot.
How do you shoot two people cleaning your gun?
And if you're sitting next to each other kind of showing people how cool your gun is.
Yeah, I guess some people in an actual gunfight miss 10 times and one guy's cleaning and he shoots two people.
That's in the movies. They certainly miss that.
Andrew McKay in the Pensacola Morning News. Listen weekdays 5 to 9 a.m. News Radio 92.3.
Informative, local, dependable.
That I ain't trying to hear. Get back. You don't know me like that. Get back. You don't know me like that.
Like sands through the Blackwater, so are the days of our Milton. And now, another episode of City Council Melodrama Theater.
All right, folks, strap in, get those seatbelts on. I'm going to do this in 7 minutes. I know we've had a busy day. I appreciate this opportunity and the invite to come and share with you a little bit about our department. In the last 2 months, we handled 4,000 calls for service, more than 60 motor vehicle crashes, 70 arrests, and more than 350 motor vehicle stops. Our department is moving and shaping the community as we move forward here.
Chief Frank there in the city of Milton giving a brief update to the city council on activities that her department is taking care of. She is really active. I mean, I don't know where she comes up with the time, but, you know, she has been, revolutionary is a bit strong, but, there's really been a change in the department ever since she took over. But anyway, telling them all the different things she's doing, including flipping burgers for a fundraiser.
of you who don't know, last month I ran a fundraiser for our department. We recognized we had some equipment needs. We didn't have the funds for it. We were able to do a fundraiser. I was flipping burgers outside of the Country Bar, Gym, and Grill, and we raised $5,000. $3,000 of that went to cover traffic vests, and the rest of it went to a ballistic shield. I bring that up because I will tell you, our department is resourceful. When we have a need, we're going to find a way.
And we're not going to wait for you, City Council, to not pay for things. We're just going to go out, and I'm going to flip burgers and make some money and get $5,000, and we're going to buy a shield. I mean, cool. Plus, it's community outreach. It's fun. It's, you know, you can have a burger made by the chief. I mean, I love it. It's great.
And that brings up what's coming next. I just was able to secure through the Winter Springs Police Department $19,000 in tactical equipment. We are obtaining their ballistic shields and their tactical helmets that have gone through their service life there. I'm going to get a chance to talk to you guys more about that at the next meeting, but I'm just excited to share that with you.
That's cool. Now, this was not last night's meeting. This is from a week and a half ago from the work session, but ballistic shields and helmets from another agency where they're, you know, too old, basically, for them to use, and so they're getting rid of them, and instead of, you know, selling them on the open market, she's like, well, you know, we'll take them. And they say, okay, you know, good enough for us. You know, Milton, how often does Milton have to have something like that? Not often, but so having old gear is better than having no gear, right?
In total, that's $25,000 worth of equipment at no cost to the city coming here to the police department, free and clear, that's going to help keep our people safe and help make sure that we can respond to the city, whether it be an active shooter, a barricaded subject, or just your house door is open and we got to go in and search it, make sure there's not a bad guy inside. At least we know that when the officers go in, they're going to have the right equipment to do it.
Yeah, that's pretty good. $25,000 worth of new stuff. I love it. And then she goes through, she's got this whole PowerPoint presentation that she's going to run through with them. And I only played this because it was kind of funny. And being funny, it, you know, I like funny things. And I like funny things. So anyway, it was kind of entertaining. Here, you listen.
You're going to have to keep up, Austin, because we're going to rock through here. So you just keep clicking and I'm just going to keep talking. Why was I invited? I was invited to share some of the unique things we do at the police department. As we start to look at our community relations, we had three big community programs we've run over the last 2 months, and I was invited to come and share those with you. Keep going. Keep talking. I'm like 17 slides in already. So as we're working through this, we want to talk. We've been doing women's self-defense. We've been in the programs with the high schools, having an opportunity to talk to them about emergency management when we ran Citizen Police Academy. All right, that was too fast.
He had gone all the way to the last slide, you know, the one, any questions or whatever, you know, like that kind of, like he was not keeping up, and then he went way too far ahead. Dang, I pressed the wrong button. Here goes.
You're going to have to keep up, Austin. When we ran Citizen Police Academy. All right, that was too fast. Too fast. I'm going to take your clicker back from you. Nice job, though. Nice job. Back it up. Back it up. So all the way. Keep going. All the way back. So as we start to look at this program, you got to go like 15 slides back. Come on. Come on. You get there.
I love it. But, you know, then one of the, and this is not particularly innovative. I mean, other agencies do, like, she was talking about how they did the Citizens Police Academy. It was, I think it was small. I think it was like 10 people, super successful. I mean, you know, Pensacola does this. Lots of agencies do this. It's a very, very good thing. It gives you all kinds of opportunities to learn about what the police do, why they do it, how they do it, to think like a cop, and, you know, to deal with some of the problems that they deal with and to deal with them as a citizen who doesn't know any better. You know, you're outside. I remember when I did it several years ago, they took us all outside and we were out of the car in a parking lot. And there's two guys who were kind of, you know, near the car. And they seemed to maybe be trying to jimmy it open. Well, that looks like a crime. Or it could just be the owner of the car. How do you determine which it is? Go! You know, that, I remember that was one of my scenarios. And that's not super easy. Well, that's why you practice. Because, you know, you ask questions and you deal with problems. And anyway, so she says they did that. It was very successful. Also, they did a women's self-defense course, which was also super successful.
I had an opportunity to share that we had a women's empowerment program designed to make sure that women had not only situational awareness, but they knew how to defend themselves in the event they found themselves in a difficult position. I love this program because the women came forward talking about it gave them a voice. It gave them a chance to look at things differently. How do I come into a situation, go to a program, go home at night to my car and know that I can feel safe in my body, in my person, and I can walk away from here with some incredible skills. It was a very short program, but I will tell you, every single person who participated said that they had some great experiences. This is the second of the self-defense programs we've run. We have another one coming up next month. I will tell you what I love most about this program is the fact that it is spread predominantly through word of mouth. When you look at this, we ask women, how confident do you feel about yourself before completing this course and protecting yourself? And you're going to see the numbers were 1, 2, 4. If you go to the end of this course, go ahead and click it. There you go. You're going to find that at the end of this course, women said predominantly they felt more prepared. They liked what they had for response. Keep going. You can rock it through. Hit like the next three. You're going to see they had good defense moves. They gained confidence in themselves. And most importantly, at the end here, you got one more. There you go. They learned how to be confident, knowing they were stronger than what they thought. This is what policing's about. Policing's not just about getting helmets, not just tactical equipment, not just making motor vehicle stops, but it's making sure our community feels safe and they have the skills necessary.
Amen. Absolutely. And, you know, one of the things that sort of obvious, so I feel a little bit awkward just saying it out loud, but having a female chief of police participate in your women's self-defense and empowerment course is a bonus. Because it's not that a man can't teach the class, and I don't know that she taught the class necessarily, but, you know, it's not that a man can't teach it. Certainly they can. But it's different coming from a woman. You're a woman learning self-defense from a woman who, you know, understands the experience of being a woman and possibly having been in danger or felt at danger or felt, you know, at risk and not able to do anything about it. It's just different. And so, you know, having a female chief of police is, there's no way to account for the difference that carries in training women and teach women. And it's important for women to know how to defend themselves, how to be aware of danger, how to yell, say no, what to yell, how to, you know, how to stand back, leave me alone, you know, that kind of stuff. I mean, you know, it's just, it's good. It's very good. And then the last thing that she mentioned, and I thought this was the thing that I have noticed about Chief Frank, she's very enthusiastic. She's a delightful person. And very eager to kind of, it's almost like, you know how sometimes you have a lot of ideas about what you would do if you had the chance to run a thing, whatever that is, like at work, you know, how I would change it if I were the boss, or, you know, you're a kid and how I will do it when I have kids. And then you go up and do exactly what your parents did. it's typical. By the way, the reason for that is because it's not so easy to do what you think ought to be done. And typically what you fall back on is the pattern that you've seen, because that's the pattern that you know. Same thing in marriage. That's why you tend to date like makes sense, and then you tend to marry like your parents because that's the pattern you've seen. Anyway, did I go too deep, too quick? Sorry. Happy Thursday. You weren't like this when we were dating. Well, yeah. I mean, what I know how to date is what makes sense to me. Why you're doing marriage like your parents did? Well, because that's how I know how to do marriage. Anyway, it's not easy to be innovative once you really get into the position. She is absolutely being super innovative, and I got to imagine that almost like her whole time being a cop for her whole life until she got this job, she kind of had I don't know if she had one, but I imagine, you know, had a notebook of ideas. Like, I want to do this if I ever get to be a chief. I want to do this if I ever get to be a chief. Now she's a chief and she's doing it. It's fantastic. One of the things that they have done was a public safety engagement with the students at Milton High School. And I thought this was, you know, sometimes you find out things about a person through obscure little slices of not the presented material. You know what I mean? Like, not the thing that they intended to tell you, but something happens. You know, somebody in the audience sneezes and they're like, oh, God bless you. And you're like, oh, you know, that kind of thing. Like, the unexpected little, there's an unexpected little note in all of this that I think is really quite telling about Chief Frank.
We took that into the school system. This is us working from an emergency management. Keep rolling. As we came through, we worked with them. We said, how do you respond if there's an active shooter in your school? What do you do? Where do you go? How do you handle this? We brought in people from EMS. We had people from EOC. We had fire departments there. We gave the students the responsibility, and we learned. Tell me I forget. Teach me I remember. Involve me I learn. Each student was given the job. If you were a police officer, what would you do? How would you handle this? And you know what we discovered? We discovered that they had ideas we'd never even thought of, because we didn't know what it was like to be a student in that room, and we thought that this is how they'd react, and they go, no, this is what I do. And we actually changed our safety plans as a result.
They changed their safety response plan for Milton High School based on what the Milton High School students told them they would do because they know the facility in a way that the police do not, in depth and in detail, and what people do and how they behave. And it's their home, right, for, you know, 4 years. So I just thought that was wonderful to see because, you know, it's an understandably common thing that when you're an expert in a thing, and, you know, police officers are experts, right? They come in, they know how to do an active shooter drill. They know how to, you know, hide, flee, fight, you know, is kind of the advice. They'll come in and tell you, here's what you do. And you're the novice because you don't know anything. And they know a lot. And so they tell you what to do. And it'd be very easy just to tell people what to do and not to ask the question or give them the opportunity to do it and see what they do, which, of course, will give you the chance to teach them how to do it better. But if you're paying attention, might also give you information like, oh, well, that's actually pretty good. Maybe we should do that. So just, again, it's a little thing, but it tells you a lot, I think, about her character, about, you know, her orientation towards doing the job best, which, by the way, I see this with Chief Winstrom, too. You know, I see it in other places as well, but that willingness to innovate and learn and, you know, one of the advantages of having a long time in a job is that you become very, very wise and seasoned and expert. One of the disadvantages of being a job for very long is that, you know, you've forgotten how to innovate. You take it for granted that you are the one who knows it all, essentially, because usually you are, and you don't kind of keep your ears open to learn from, in this case, you know, what are the 17-year-olds telling me that I can gain from? So anyway, I just thought it was a really cool set of notes. And aside from the PowerPoint slides going too fast, I thought it was entertaining. 550 here, and they're getting these, you know, ballistic shields. And I know Channel 3 ran a story about that last night, so you got to see them, actually. 551 on News Radio 92.3, informative, local, dependable. I'm Andrew McKay.
There are too many part-time agents in today's real estate market. Agents who don't do the simple things, communicate clearly, negotiate firmly, or prepare strategically. I'm Helen Council, working alongside Vinnie Matassa at Connor O'Donovan Real Estate. We serve the greater Pensacola area and we'll be there for you every step of your real estate journey. Don't buy or sell anything in Pensacola or the surrounding area until you call us. That's Helen and Vinnie, and we want to be your realtors. Find us at soldbyvinniefl.com.
The average checking account pays less than a tenth of a percent. PenAir Credit Union's high-yield checking, 5.05% APY. That's more than most savings accounts, and 70 times more than any old checking account. Make every deposit count. Learn more at penair.org/checking.
Federally insured by NCUA, PenAir's high-yield checking account pays up to 5.05% annual percentage yield on balances up to $10,000 with e-statements and a monthly ACH deposit of $250 or more.
Delicious seafood is what you'll find at Davis Catfish House. Davis Catfish serves only the best Mississippi catfish, fresh Gulf seafood, and delicious homemade sides. Weekday specials include two times Tuesday, six free shrimp added to the six-piece dinner. Wednesdays offer lunch basket specials. And everybody's favorite, Shrimp-tastic Thursday, $5 off all-you-can-eat shrimp. Serving fresh seafood daily, visit Davis Catfish House on Dogwood Drive in Milton. See you at David's.
Hobbies can be fun and expensive. How about a hobby that's fun and could make you money? Find out this morning at 10 with Emerald Coast Coins. Hear about precious metals and metal detectors as a great hobby. For nearly 20 years, Emerald Coast Coins has been one of the top-rated businesses in Northwest Florida to buy and sell gold, silver, and the best metal detectors to find treasure. Get more information this morning on the Pensacola Expert Panel.
The Pensacola Expert Panel, 9 to 11 weekdays on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620.
Talking about it. We're talking about it.
The midterm elections.
Who will win? Who will not?
It'll all be covered on News Radio 92.3.
Hold it.
What?
That ain't Lake Minnetonka.
All right, I know your Gen X music, your late 80s, early 90s music is, you know, skewed towards the countryside, John. But you grew up when I grew up. Do you know this band? Do you recognize this artist? Okay, I'm going to give you a hint. And I'm not going to say it because I think Bill Maher is going to tell us who it is, but he's going to tell us wrong. So Bill Maher was talking about the America 250, you know, thing the other day. And he started off saying this. I actually thought this was actually kind of funny. I'll see what you think about this. He was talking with Susan Rice. Remember her from the Obama administration? And I forget who the guy was, but anyway.
Something called the Great American State Fair Festival that was planned. Now, this is not the same thing as the UFC event on the White House lawn. Don't get the...
Or the race car track going around the city.
Yes, but the... there's lots of exciting stuff in Washington going on. No, the UFC thing. Look, we have a redneck president. I'm sorry. We're just going to have to get...
From Manhattan.
From Manhattan. A redneck from... He just does redneck things. Okay.
I thought that was actually not a bad description of Trump's taste on a lot of things. I know from some people's perspective that would be an insult, but if you think about the things he's into and the things he promotes and the things he gets excited about and kind of what he does, you know, I think he's kind of got redneck sensibilities. And then sometimes, you know, he redoes the paint scheme on the reflecting pool and it looks amazing. Have you seen the pictures of the reflecting pool with the... They redid it and painted it the blue, the color of the background on a flag.
Right.
It looks fantastic.
Well, that's
it
awesome.
It looks like the color you wish it should have always been because it's amazing looking. Anyways, but yeah, that was kind of funny. Now, again, the uncharitable view is, yeah, he's a redneck. Like, we got a wrestler with a machine gun president in Idiocracy redneck. Well, I mean, you know, it's kind of that too. But that's not the reason I played this clip. It was just kind of set up for this one. Here goes. You ready? You know how you're always looking for people to say something wrong or right to confirm or disconfirm that they're really part of your culture? You know, they're really of you or not? And every once in a while, people, like when Ilhan Omar recently said World War XI.
Oh, yeah.
You know, or when Obama said corpsman, you know, or when President Trump said, you know, in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians walk into bar and order a parchment. Anyway, because they were... You know, thirsty.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
I know. I know. Okay, no, but I deserve it. I really do.
Boo.
Yeah, no, it's fair enough. Okay, so back to the Bill Maher. You ready?
But this other thing was not planned as a specific Trump thing or a specific MAGA thing. And they had some acts lined up, not the greatest. The Commodores, Morris Day and The Time, they were pretty good.
Commodores were good in the day.
Very good, very, yes, that's true. That's Lionel Richie, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, he's not with them anymore.
Right.
Okay. Martina McBride, Brett Michaels, Young MC, C plus C Music Factory, Milli Vanilli, I would not have left them on.
I think it was just Vanilli.
Right, yes, it was just... Right,
right,
because the other one was discredited for lip syncing.
Right. No,
it's okay. It's not a good joke, but it's okay. But did you catch the one in the middle, John? You heard it immediately.
Oh, Goals, yeah.
Michaels, Young MC, C plus C Music Factory.
Milli- C plus C?
Really?
Music Factory? You mean C and C Music Factory? Bill. Exactly. Come on, sir. World War XI? Really?
Take away his 90s card.
Factory. Yeah, you know, you find out somebody's they're almost of you, but they're not really of you, right? That's what you found out. Yeah, I don't know. C plus C Music Factory.
Yeah, that's awesome.
That's probably how kids think about us talking about, you know, what you mean, $8 A$AP Rocky. Just A$AP Rocky, you know.
Right.
It's Megan Thee Stallion, not Megan Thee Stallion. Whatever. 437-1620. This is kind of just a small thing, but, you know, we're at that point where I've got about a minute left in the hour, so it's a good time for a small story. John, you don't have any new babies. You haven't had a new baby in a while, right?
Yeah.
So,
in 19 years.
You know, you could in the not-too-distant future be looking at becoming a grandpa, right?
Oh.
I mean,
I don't know about all that.
Coming eventually, right?
Yeah, eventually.
Popular baby names. Popular baby names. I know you probably do not keep up on this. A couple of trends. The female baby names, they're moving towards soft, and both for men and for women, they're moving towards soft names instead of hard names, you know, words that end in S and instead of K and T, you know, kind of think like radio
or
names,
Don.
Things like that. Or what?
Brandon.
Yeah, it would be a soft name because it ends in an N. Girls' names are going away from ad beginnings like Adeline, Adelie, Adele, Adira. Adira in America? Okay, whatever. But also... The fiery names are popular. Phoenix, Apollo, Elio, which is Greek for sun. Kasai is a Japanese word for flame. It's moved up to number 400 on the list. Ember for girls, Marisol, Serafina, Elaine. These are all, you know, sun or fire related ones. Blaze. Also, people are starting to name their kids after sitcoms and TV shows. Like Ross, because Friends came onto YouTube, so a whole generation is discovering Friends for the first time. I would not want to be named after Ross Geller. That's not a blessing.
No.
Monica, Phoebe maybe, Joey not so much, Chandler.
Whatever happened to just John and Jim?
The top bet 10 girl names, Olivia, Amelia, Eliana, Sophia, and Charlotte. Top 5 boy names, Noah, Liam, Oliver, Elijah, and Mateo. Mateo?
Yeah.
Okay.